It's Harvest Public Media's Field Notes. I'm Jessica Najunas. Today on the show, a conversation with a food scientist about the history of food additives, what she won't eat, and more.
My name is Kanta Shelke, and I am a principal at Corvus Blue, a Chicago-based food science research company.
She explains food additives contain many different categories. Here's one.
Powdery foods, such as mixes, chocolate, you know, cocoa powder, they may have something called an anti-caking agent added to them to prevent them from caking or sticking together. Instant coffee powder, for example.
Additives are constantly under fire in the health world. There's a lot of inconclusive evidence that strange-sounding food additives contribute to conditions like cancer, ADHD, or basic headaches. Last year, the Food and Drug Administration declined to put warnings on food products that contain hotly contested dyes like yellow number 5, which is derived from petroleum. Shelke has spent her career studying food ingredients and says food scientists see additives, perhaps differently than the consuming public.
To understand their chemistry, to see their physiological effects, how they can be manufactured in large scale, how they can be used, what happens to them when they're put into a product, and their effect on the human body.
Tell me about the history of food additives.
Historically, food processing started centuries ago. Foods were preserved primarily for the military. We preserved our foods so that our soldiers, while they were out fighting, could have food that would sustain them, nourish them, and give them a little bit of the comfort, the kind of food that they would have at home. And over time, our knowledge of science and technology has advanced so much that we've been able to make some amazing food products. But in the 60s and 70s, something else started happening, and that was somebody thought, wait a minute, why are we only sending it out to soldiers? Why don't we put it on the marketplace? And the first TV dinners appeared in the marketplace.
Shelke says somewhere along the way, the processed, preserved, and additive-rich food became an everyday choice for many Americans.
And that is when people started getting concerned. There's nothing wrong with having a food that's been preserved with additives, etc., if you are having them occasionally. But is it good for us if we eat them day in and day out for every meal? That's what the concern's all about.
And what has science told us about that concern?
As a scientist, I can tell you that we don't know. We know that the food that we are consuming has historically been safer than ever before. We also know that they've been very nutritious. What we don't know is what are the long-term effects of consuming foods that have so many additives that we have never consumed in our past history.
So these strange-sounding ingredients that are found in packaged foods may lead some to believe those ingredients are harmful. Consumer advocacy group, the Center for Science and the Public Interest, supports banning some of these additives because they say they are unsafe. As a food scientist, what do you think about claims of health when it comes to these difficult-to-pronounce chemicals?
Well, that is something that we've been dealing with for quite some time. Now, if I said the word calcium pentothenate or riboflavin, to many people, that is a chemical. But riboflavin is a vitamin B, or thiamine hydrochloride is another vitamin B. So it's a matter of perception. We as a nation have become very scared of chemical-sounding names and have not figured out how to distinguish those nutrients that are actually good for us from those that are not so good. Consumers also sometimes have not taught themselves anything about food and food science, and so sometimes the most benign of additives appear dangerous to them.
Organic foods often have substitutes for different ingredients, such as sugar. They use cane juice. Can you talk a little bit about how food additives are rolled into the marketing of a food product?
One of the biggest issues that we have in the marketplace right now is this word natural. People think that sugar has a negative connotation, whereas dried cane sugar appears, or dried cane juice appears to be more natural. Usually I start by saying snake venom is natural, but not necessarily safe. Yeah. So the important thing to remember is that natural is a term that it does not have a legal definition. It is a term that the industry has chosen because consumers believe, for some reason, that if it's natural, it must be good for you. And for an educated consumer, when they see the word organic, they understand one thing, and that is that every element in that particular product has gone through a certification, an organic candy. You know, an organic candy is still a sugar, and sugar is sugar.
Shelkey and her team conducted an interesting study on how color affects taste perception. They gathered foodies, young kids, and others to taste test different colored gelatin that was all flavored with lemon.
So we had a clear white gelatin, and then we had red, and then we gave them yellow.
When people tasted the red colored gelatin, they reported a berry taste and wished it was sweeter.
When they tasted the clear gelatin, they asked if it was grapefruit or even if it was, pineapple or something lighter, lychee. They came up with exotic names.
And when they tasted the lemon-colored gelatin, they said it tasted the best. And the whole time, each gelatin they tasted was flavored with lemon.
And what it told us was, we have become accustomed to equating certain colors with certain flavors. When that red-colored gelatin does not appear or taste like the berry, we say it is less sweeter, not realizing that it was a lemon gelatin and it was not even meant to be a berry. But we expect a red gelatin to be intensely sweet, and it disappointed us.
What are some things that you just won't eat if it has an ingredient or additive in it?
I typically don't eat foods that have very, very long shelf life. So I will look at a food product and look at when it was made and see how long it's been sitting around. I also don't eat foods that contain synthetic sweeteners. They have been created for those individuals who cannot digest and who cannot handle regular sugar because of their glucose management issues. But for me personally, I can manage my sugar, therefore I don't need to eat them. For me, I don't think there's any such thing as a bad food. It's simply a matter of a good diet or a bad diet. Anything in moderation is okay, because it's the dose that makes the poison.
That's it for Field Notes. For more, visit harvestpublicmedia.org.
Harvest Public Media is a reporting team based in four Midwestern states, Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas. We're here to tell stories of the farmers who feed us and explore issues surrounding the production and consumption of food and fuel. You can find us online at harvestpublicmedia.org.